Well, it's very good to see all of you here this morning. We have quite a few in attendance here who are visiting with us, and we want you to know what an honor it is for us to have you here. And again, we want to welcome you and hope that you will come and join us whenever you have an opportunity to do so. Again, I want to thank those of you that are here. I know that some of you have come back from illnesses and been struggling with some of those. It's great to see all of you back. And again, let's continue to remember all of those folks that we know that are struggling with their health at this particular time. We've got quite a few and several that are going to be having surgeries here upcoming very, 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 very soon. Is there supposed to be a football game on today? I don't know. Maybe there is. Anyways, we want to invite you back tonight for our services at 5 o'clock. And, hope that you'll come and join us for that as well. There is a game on this evening, but there's a lot of other great things that are going on as well today. The truth shall set you free. John 8:32. This is a statement of Jesus where he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I want to look at that today. I want us to examine that this morning briefly. Now, our discussion is on four things God will not accept relative to the truth. Now, I don't mean to say that these are things that involve the truth, but what I'm saying is there are things that we can connect to the truth. And so, things that God will not accept. You know, it's time for us to stop dodging the truth. And I'm afraid that sometimes we do that. I'm afraid that we dodge the truth quite often. I don't know if it's to make sure that we're not offensive for folks, or maybe it's because we don't want to speak it. Maybe we are more flowery in our conversation about things. And when we do that, I'm afraid that often we might leave some ambiguity with those individuals about what the truth is. It's easier for us to just say kind of what we mean by that or what we think the truth teaches, but then we'll leave the rest of it up to your own understanding and maybe your development of thought. And we leave some ambiguity there. And so I'm afraid that at times we dodge the truth, and it's time for us to stop dodging the truth. Now, we're supposed to speak the truth with love. We're supposed to try to share the truth and the gospel message with people, and we want them to know that our motive is pure. Our motive is not because we can see increased numbers in our congregations. No, our motive is so that God can see increased numbers in His kingdom, and so that more people will go to heaven. And we love people, and God loves people, and we've been singing about that this morning. So we've got to speak the truth with love. But the point is, we've got to speak it. We've got to speak the truth. And so there's some realities that we've got to come to terms with when we're talking about the truth of God's Word. And I want to look at four of those realities today. And I want us to do that briefly, if we can. And hopefully that you'll walk away from here having a greater appreciation and love for the truth. First thing that I want us to look at is this. What will God not accept? What will God not accept in regards to His truth? Here's the first thing. God will not accept worship that is not in spirit and in truth. He will not accept that. You go to John chapter 4 and verse 24. Jesus there, as He's speaking with the woman at the well, says, "God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." He leaves no ambiguity there. He doesn't make it conditional. He doesn't say, if you would like to worship Me in spirit and in truth, or if you'd like to worship My Father in spirit and truth, that's the best way for you to do it. No, He simply says, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must do that. It's a command. It has to be done in spirit and in truth. And when it's not done in spirit and in truth, that type of worship is not acceptable to God. Now, that's happened in the past in the Scriptures, and we can go back and identify certain occasions. You can think about Cain and Abel. Cain brought an offering, and that offering was not pleasing. It was not acceptable to God, like his brother Abel brought. God accepted Abel's offering, did not accept Cain's, because his worship was not in spirit and in truth. And it's always been that way. It can be done the right way, and it has to be done with the right attitude. And when we fail to do that, When we fail to honor God's word when it comes to worshiping in spirit and in truth, we're not accepted. That worship is not accepted. And so Cain's worship was not accepted to God there in Genesis. When we go to Leviticus chapter 10 and we look at Nadab and Abihu, their worship was not accepted by God. And in fact, it led to their demise, their destruction. And so when we think about the truth of God's Word, we understand that God will not accept worship that is not in spirit and in truth. You can go back to the Corinthians. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is having to deal with several abuses that were taking place in their congregation. One of those abuses was the abuse of the Lord's Supper. Not only were they not doing it in the right spirit, they were partaking of the Lord's Supper as part of a common meal, and then they were not feeding everybody there. There were other people there that were hungry, and they were not there with the right spirit. They didn't have the right attitude. And then they weren't doing it the right way. And so Paul says, listen, if you can't observe that correctly, if you're going to continue to eat that common meal, then just go eat at home. I'm not commending you on what you're doing. In other words, that's not acceptable. So we find in Scriptures examples where God will not accept worship that is not in spirit and in truth. And by that, that's the right attitude and in the right way. So how does God want us to worship Him? Well, that's what we've got to come to terms with. We've got to worship Him the right way, but in addition to coming to terms with the right way of worship, we've got to have the right heart about worship. I could be doing it the right way, and my attitude not be right. My spirit's not right. And so God will not accept worship that is not in spirit and in truth. Number two, God will not accept preaching that is not in harmony with the truth. He will not accept preaching that's not in harmony with the truth. In other words, we've got to preach what the Bible says. Has to say. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. When we think about preaching the truth, we could use other terms that associate with that. We can think about the word of God. We can think about the gospel being the truth there. But preaching that's not in harmony with the truth, God does not accept. So I can't just teach what people want to hear. Paul admonished Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, you got to teach what is the truth. You got to preach what is right. And sometimes that means there's going to be some correction involved with that. And it may mean that you're going to end up having to tell people a truth that they don't like hearing. But you got to preach that truth. When I think about the Apostle Paul, and when I think about his going into all of these different towns and preaching about Jesus Christ, do you realize that Paul made a lot of enemies? Why? Because he preached the gospel boldly. He preached the truth to those folks, and some of what he was preaching, they did not want to hear. And as a result of that, they became angry. They were adamantly opposed to him. They beat him. They stoned him. He made enemies. Why? Because he told them the truth. He told them the truth. And that's not the truth that they wanted. They didn't want to listen to the truth. You think about Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Here Paul, talking to the Galatian Christians there, says to them, I have preached the gospel to you, and I marvel that you are so soon removed from the faith of the gospel that had been preached to them. There had been some folks that had come in, they had perverted that gospel message that Paul had already been preaching to them. And Paul says, listen, you got to stop that. You got to get rid of that kind of preaching. You can't listen to it. In fact, he says, if I or an angel from heaven come to you and preach something different than what you have already heard me preach, let him be accursed. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm not going to change that message as long as I'm in my right mind. That's the message, that's the truth for you to hear. And it's not going to change. That truth is not going to change. And so I don't know if maybe Paul had a mental setback and began to preach something that wasn't truth but was error. He never did that, of course. But he said, if I come there and I preach something different, let me be accursed. If an angel says something different than what, that's not the truth. Or anybody else that comes preaching some different doctrine than what you've had delivered to you, don't listen to it. You know, this is sometimes difficult when you think about preaching the truth and talking about the truth. Because as I said before, a few moments ago, we get put into some pretty sensitive situations, don't we, at times when we're asking questions or when we're trying to talk to people about things. And we're not trying to be offensive and we don't want to say things that are inappropriate, and we're not intentionally trying to be hurtful with anybody. But the thing is, I have an obligation to the Word of God to preach what His Word says. I don't have the right to go beyond it. I don't have a right to take away from it. I only can say what it says. And my allegiances, and I want everybody to hear this, and I want everybody to understand it. My allegiances are to God's Word, not your sensitivities. Did everybody get that? My allegiances are to the truth of God's Word, not whether you take exception to what I preach or not. Because I've got to find it there. And it's got to be the truth that comes from there. And I'm not intentionally trying to hurt a feeling. I don't want to do that because I love everybody and I want everybody to go to heaven. Just like God wants everybody to go to heaven. But my obligation is to God to preach the truth. Not to tell you something that would make you feel better or to create some ambiguity in your mind so that you can feel a false sense of security. It's to tell you the truth. And I only tell you what I can find in God's Word. I think about 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, here Peter writes about a sad situation that's going to happen and that has happened in the church. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresy." The King James Version is a little bit stronger when it talks about this passage, the wording that they use there. It says, "who will secretly bring in damnable heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth," what? "The way of truth will be blasphemed." They're not preaching the truth, right? They're not leading you down the way that is going to lead you to eternal life. They're leading you down the path to destruction because they're not preaching what is in harmony with God's truth. And God will not accept that kind of preaching. You can say what you want to say from a pulpit, say what people might like to hear said from the pulpit. But if what is said does not come from this book, from God's Word, it is not the truth. God will not accept that kind of preaching. Next, God will not accept sinners who fail to obey the truth. Sinners that fail to obey the truth. He will not accept that. Think about a couple of passages of Scripture. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, notice verse 8. He says, "But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury." Can God make that any clearer? If you do not obey the truth, there will be wrath and fury. Why? Because if you're not obeying the truth, then you are being obedient to unrighteousness. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 10. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. I want us to begin in verse 14. Actually, you know what? We're going to start in verse 10. He says here, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God." What does he say there? There's an indication here by the Apostle Paul that not everybody had been obedient to the gospel. Well, now, what did we say that the gospel was? If you go back and you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to find that Paul says that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says there are folks that have not obeyed that gospel. They've not done what they're supposed to do in order to be obedient to God. We go back to the Apostle Paul's account in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And Ananias says to him, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Well, who are we baptized into? We're baptized into the name of Jesus. We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We reenact the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the baptism into Christ. And that's why when we read in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." How was he calling on the name of the Lord? By being obedient. By being obedient to what God wanted him to be obedient to. Sinners who fail to obey the truth, wrath and fury awaits them. And again, that brings us no great joy to say that. But we're here to preach the truth of what God has to say. And we don't want to give anybody a false sense of hope that says, "Yeah, well, you know, God is..." And I hear this oftentimes, and I cringe a little bit at this when I hear it. "Well, you know, God is the judge." He is the judge. God is the judge. I'm not your judge. You know, God's the judge. And he'll do what's right in that. You know what that is? That's a soft way of saying, you know, I don't want to tell you what the truth is from God's Word on this subject. I just want to make you feel a little bit better about the situation so you don't go away upset with me. Let me tell you, though, what the Scriptures do say. The Scriptures tell us that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And he's not going to lie to you. So if he says something in that book for us to do, and he says it's an issue of salvation, guess what? He means it. God is no respecter of persons, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 34. "But he who feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And by him. He that believeth God and worketh righteousness is accepted by him." He's no respecter of persons. So what he expects of me, he expects of everybody when it comes to being obedient to the gospel and obeying that. And sinners who fail to obey the truth, God will not accept. Now that's not me talking. That's God talking. That's His Word. And either I trust His Word or I need to shut the book and not worry about it anymore. And finally, God will not accept backsliders who refuse to turn back to the truth. Yeah, think about this passage of Scripture in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, notice verses 19 and 20 of this text. He says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Look at that. You got a brother who has walked away from the truth. What happens if that brother never comes back to the truth? Scripture says if you bring him back, then you have saved his soul from death. What's the implication then? If he doesn't come back, his soul is going to die. He's going to be lost. That's what he says. If bringing him back saves his soul from death, then the sinner or the backslider that refuses to come back to the truth will be lost. The truth shall set you free. It's time that we start preaching and teaching the truth. Speak it. Speak it with love. Let everybody know that you're concerned. But folks, let's stop dodging it. Let's start preaching it. It may be that there's someone here that for whatever reason has been dodging the truth. You know what the Bible says about what you need to do in order to be right with Him, but you've been dodging that. You've not done what you need to do. We want to encourage you to become a Christian. We love you. God loves you. As Cliff was reading from Ephesians chapter 1 today, verses 4 through 7, he talked about how that this passage is talking about how God wants us. And He loves us. And He has predestined us through His Son to be His children. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He wants you to come home. So if you're not a Christian, we want to beg and plead with you to become one today. By coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and being baptized to wash away those sins, raised to walk in newness of life. And if it's the case that you have wandered away from God, it's time to come back home. He wants to save your soul from death. And He'll do it if you'll come. While together we stand and sing.